Have you seen those new highlighters that are out now that have a clear space?
Where you can erase, right?
No, not so you can erase. It's not an eraser. Where'd I put my highlighter? Yeah, I mean, I highlight backwards. Like, I start at the end of what I want to highlight and
that
go.
That way you can see how much you're highlighting, exactly.
Because I'm left-handed. That's special.
This is C. Michael Hall, writer and creator of Ape Entertainment's El Dorado, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Chamber and don't think twice. Life is one chance to see what you got. Spin that revolver around and take your best shot. I couldn't see it coming. It crept up on me so I was blinded by the light in my eyes. There was no way around it. I finally sinking in. There's nothing better or worse than the unexpected.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Rockin' in the Dirt. I am Richard, along with
April,
Luis,
and we are brought to you by Comic Pop Library. In today's episode, we're going to be listening to Erica Perry's Wandering Daisy album, and we were fortunate enough to get this from Tammy Millspaugh again from Texas Record Check PR. So thank you, Tammy, for giving us another album to review. We appreciate it very much, and we're going to turn it over to Erica. We're going to turn it over to April to discuss Erica.
Yes, Erica, I'm not sure when she started in on the music life, you know, it doesn't really distinguish it, but the way it talks about, you know, she's been doing it for a little while, you know, but so Erica is from Linder, Texas, and this is her first full-length project called Wandering Daisies.
Just done EPs before?
Something like that. I assume.
Okay.
And this was released in 2014, so it's
new.
It's new for us. You know, and it's been worked on with their producer was Bo Bedford, and then she had a couple songs where they had a featured artist, you know, she did a duet with some, and that was actually Phil Hamilton.
Okay.
So, recognized in that name.
And I know that one, I did mention one of them that, I think it was Lullaby. Was that the duet?
It could, yeah, probably, yes.
No, it was Sink or Swim.
Well, wasn't Lullaby a duet?
Was it a duet?
Was
too?
Was it a duet too?
Duet. Duet. I don't remember Lullaby, but I have in my notes that it was a duet in Sink or Swim.
Okay, yeah. So. Maybe I'm just weird then. Probably. But yeah, she's had a pretty interesting life. She was, she's a former DCC.
Huh?
Cowboys cheerleader, huh?
Yeah, she's a former Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. I was wondering, like, who's going to get this?
No.
Dad. And that's given her great opportunities with her singing. You know, she's been able to sing at the Texas Stadium. No, it's
have some ends there.
Yeah, really. And she went on the USO tour to Iraq and Korea. You know, and sing for the troops and all that. Yeah. And so, when she finished, you know, then that's when she really got into the singing and everything, when she was done with DCC. So it's kind of like her retirement job.
Whoa. God. Well, of course, in the cheerleading business, you don't have a very long lifespan before they start looking at you and saying, you might need to retire.
Yeah.
But really, listening to somehow some of them get paid, it's not really for the money. You're doing it because you enjoy want the notoriety to springboard you to different things. Well, so it sounds like that's what she's doing.
That's kind of what she's doing, yeah. And when she first started in, she worked with her friend Josh Good, really helped her with her songwriting and her performances and everything. And she wrote and co-wrote all the songs for Wandering Daisy. So she does have some talent in that distinct. Because it's hard to tell, you know, if an artist actually wrote their music.
Right.
Now. And me personally, I don't see anything wrong with it. It's just, you never know now, you know. And she's also had some success. She was on the TV series The Next. It was with country artist John Rich.
Hmm. Huh, I don't remember that one.
And I'm assuming it was some sort of like country reality.
I can look it up real fast. Go ahead.
Like an American Idol for country or something. Oh. I'm not sure. I hadn't watched it. And for that show, she made it into the top 4 in Dallas, and she made it in the top 25 for the nation. So she did pretty darn good.
You said that TV show was The Next?
That's what the show is. That's what the paper says.
What's coming up for this?
Because Next is the MTV one?
The MTV one.
Yeah, exactly.
Dating game.
That's the one that I was thinking of.
Well, maybe that's what it was.
Where they kind of start out with one.
And the bus.
And they say, yeah, in the bus. And they say, Next, because we're tired of this one.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that show.
Yeah.
I watch it in the morning sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when you said The Next, but I don't know. If
I assume that's not what she was on.
Probably not. Maybe the next country music star? Who knows?
I would assume. Because, well, she was on it with John Rich.
It's, oh, okay, yeah, John Rich from
Big and Rich.
Big and Rich, yeah.
So obviously. Okay. That's why I was like, it must have been some sort of like country singer competition or something. Then,
because they have to write their own songs and they go out and perform them. And, okay. Yes. I think it was on
CMT?
Do we have CMT here?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. I can't remember if that was that or a different channel.
I'm not sure if that's what it's on, but.
But yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, it's like a country music.
Yeah, so
American Idol type deal.
That's what I said. So on the show, she made it to the top 4 in Dallas and then on to the top 25 in the nation. So she did.
Okay.
She did good there, you know, she did good. And.
And she didn't. She wasn't getting any dates.
really.
On MTV, so we apologize, Erica.
And so she's performed in a lot of spots. She's performed around the DFW Metroplex, and she's opened for Jason Boland, The Stragglers, Kyle Park, and Brandon Ride. And she's teamed up with Trent Willman for their rendition of Baby It's Cold Outside.
Okay, I recognize some, but not all, but I do recognize some of them. Cool.
And fun fact, Trent Willman was also produced her Christmas EP, so she had at least one EP, was titled Whiskey in My Eggnog. It's a good title, you know, it makes sense.
We're in Texas, the wind's blowing, it's cold.
Yeah.
We need some fortitude here.
We need some, pretty much. But yeah, so, but getting into her actual album now, we've been talking a lot. That show really got us distracted. Oh, well. But overall, that intro song really reminded me of a Carrie Underwood song, number 3.
The Unexpected was the
Unexpected
intro.
Yeah, that was her intro.
And it took me a while because I kept thinking and trying, like, who's this remind me of?
Carrie Underwood.
That didn't click until you said that, but the one that clicked for me was after a couple of, about 4 or 5 songs, was Shania Twain. She kind of had a similar voice to her.
Yeah, and at the beginning of the first song, like, just the beat of it was like, oh, kind of, this is some Shania Twain going down. Yep. Yeah. But yeah, for Unexpected, like, I like the beat of it in general, but then she, like, brought up Russian Roulette and everything. I don't know why, but every time, like, Russian Roulette is mentioned in the song,
it sounds good, though.
I'm more there than I am if it's not. I'm like,
if it has Neth and Morbidity, April's there.
I'm like, man, this is cool. Like, I feel like I'm like Fisher from Bones. I'm the Fisher of Comic Pop Library. I'm just like, oh, death. But I really enjoyed it. And I think overall I enjoyed the album as a whole.
I think the second song, Somewhere Off 35, I and April kind of have ties to that because we used to live in Oklahoma City area, and April not as much as I do, but you know, I-35 cuts straight down through there to Dallas.
Yep.
And it was kind of neat to hear that reference. But the The one thing, it was basically like a song of
going home,
going home, remembering home. But it was
because she never mentioned I-35.
And the neatest thing is that, and it's the hippies keep it weird.
Well, so yeah.
Hopefully, we're the hippies here.
And she does keep it weird. She does say, you know, she is more. She does claim more of a gypsy soul to it. She likes the bohemian style, you know.
That's good.
So she is a gypsy soul, she said. And I think my biggest deal was with the raspier voice, like Shania Twain, you know, and Erica Perry, you know. Some songs it works, some songs it doesn't for me, you know. And I felt that's how it was for this album. Right. Some songs I thought, like one of my favorite ones was number 6.
That one is Lust. That's the one that really hit me with a Shania Twain feel.
Okay, yeah. I really enjoyed it because I could enjoy her raspy voice more because she's not stretching for some higher notes. You know, she's not stretching for the big blow, you know, like some artists do. And I felt like it suited her voice more, and it just melded better when she relaxes. And, you know, you don't have to go for the big notes to be a good singer, right. You know.
And I kind of mixed in not just Shania Twain, but this isn't necessarily she sounds like her, but Barbara Mandrell, because she did a lot of songs where she was, you know, cheating with another man or, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Lust kind of reminded me of that type of a song back, and it kind of had a 80s, 90s feel to it a little bit. So the style kind of reminded me of a Barbara Mandrell type song, but
90s.
The singer, it still reminded me of the Shania Twain.
Yeah, I can see like a Shania Twain 90s with it. And I think another song, I don't know if I enjoyed it or not, was Summer Lovin'.
That was a disappointment for me.
It's one of those again. It kind of was for me too, I guess.
It's one of those where, again, I saw the title.
And like, you think Summer Grease.
Lovin', we're going to get a Grease remake. Yes.
No. I didn't think of a remake, and I was glad I'm glad, Erica, that you didn't do a remake. But I did think of it more of a fun, you know, song. And I get it's about Summer Lovin', obviously. Course. Like, let's just point out Captain Obvious. But she has this part where too young. This is why I wanted you to play that song. Broken.
I can play it real fast.
Broken. Yeah, play it.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a little bit of a break here, and we're going to listen to part of Summer Lovin'.
If I drive down that old road, its winding path would lead me home. Back again into the world I left behind. Mom and Dad never would stay up late, so we'd go sneak out, never really afraid. We got caught, hey, that was half the fun. Down on the lake, sitting on the dock, we'd catch a sunset, skipping rocks and talk about how our love would never end. 'Cause we were summer loving all night long, half abused to the break of dawn, way too young to have a broken heart. The sun would rise and you'd be there, looking
number 7, Summer Lovin', and I like the song for itself, but when the lyrics popped up, oh, way too young to have a broken heart, as I was listening to the first time, I kind of sing it along with the person, even though I don't know the song. I just fake it till I make it. And the way I went through it, I was like, way too young to have a broken bone. And I went to bone, you know, because what gets broken, it's a bone. And that kind of gave me the idea, well, what if, like, the way I see Summer Love, it's, like, innocent. I see a lot of, you know, fun memories and all that. And so I kind of thought it would be cool to have Summer Lovin' as a song about like two little kids who are, you know, in love, you know, quotations, in love, like the kitty love, and it's their summer together, like, and so they're waiting it up, and it's like a cute, or maybe it's her looking back on how her and her husband were when they were kids, or
right.
something like that, and then, like, something like a check yes or no that Tim McGraw did, you know,
because so that's a maybe around 8, 9, 10
Yeah, just a cutesy thing, you know, because yeah, like, when I heard Broken Bone, I'm like, oh, like, I can see that being adorable, you know, I mean, I don't know if Broken Bone would work in it, but just that type of song just would have been really cool for some 11.
Again, April with her morbidity. Let's break those bones, by golly.
That, I said way too young for Broken Bones.
Oh, okay. They're flexible, though. But
God. That's why I thought like kids, because they haven't gotten it. Shut up. I just thought it was really cute.
It would have been cute, yes.
It would have. Yeah. And I was just like, ah, oh, missed opportunities.
That's an idea for a music video.
Oh, right, but there. Number 10, I put my first thoughts on it was a good eerie song. There's my morbidity on number 10.
10, which one was that one? Let's see here. That was better than this.
Yeah, I put good eerie song because it's a ba-da-da-da.
Well, that was the one that...
I love stair steps.
To me, are you thinking of 9?
No.
Love You to Death?
No, because I have down number 10, Love Stair Stepping. That's the ba-da-da-da.
You said that was the Mumford-ish type song?
Maybe, I don't know. Yes.
Okay. See, I put on there, it reminded me of a Caltrell country song, because she was drawing out her syllables a little bit.
I can see that.
So, yeah, I was just checking because the one before that had Love You to Death. And that one, again, she kind of draws out the chorus, too, a little bit. And those two, for some reason, appeal to me.
I don't know why. I really like 10. Number 9, I felt funky. I don't know.
I just said, for some reason, I like this song. I don't know why. For some reason, I just liked it. I don't know why. I can't tell you why. But, yeah, most of the songs reminded me of, they weren't fast upbeat songs. Her upbeats were kind of like a medium.
I was
upbeat.
Like, yeah, on her first song, Serendipity, I kind of, with her lyrics were what you would hear in like a quick paced, more of a quick paced, happier song. And I felt like the music.
It's a little slower.
I put kind of dragged it. You know, the song seemed to drag because you're hearing happy, like, you know, bouncing around, but the music, it's not depressing, but it's just not at that same level, you know. But number 11, was that Lullaby?
Number 11 was Gypsy.
What was Lullaby?
That was number 5.
Number 5, darn it, that's the one I was disappointed on. Dude, because I wanted a sweet lullaby, or a sweet song about a lullaby, and I didn't get that. I mean, personally, I didn't get it.
I put on there what I liked best about the song was the oohs and the ahs and the bridge.
Yeah,
because it kind of made it feel airy.
Yeah, I felt like the intro was really nice, and I felt like Erica was a little too harsh.
That's what I've had her. She had a strong voice in this one.
Okay, yeah, and I put here because this is like a really hard thing that I think singers everywhere deal with. I deal with it. I know tons of my friends deal with it. I hear, you know, there's a difference between too harsh and too bold. You know, you're killing a baby, as is a big popular term, and being and singing strong with support, you know.
Right.
And I feel like she could have softened it down a bit and still had a clearer tone, you know, because I don't think she has to worry about getting covered up. True. You know, you've got a clear voice, and I enjoy it, but you know, no one to pull in the reins and, you know, have a strong supported sound, but strong, a quiet, strong support, you know.
And just to get back to the rhythms, this kind of that didn't fit, you know. I don't mind the slower ones. When she sped up, I liked them, but some of them, just the titles alone, like you said, the lyrics alone, you thought would be a little bit faster and upbeat.
Yeah.
And to me, again, just because of the title, and because it was associated with Grease, because it's an upbeat song.
You were looking for that upbeat.
I was looking for an upbeat summer song. And it really, it was more of a, it wasn't slow, but it wasn't that upbeat
song
either.
It's like a moderate tempo kind of, yeah. And I think that was a big problem too. Because that's kind of how I was expecting the cutesy, like, snapping, just jump, you know, a little jump in your pep in your step, I guess, you know.
But in all, to me, it reminded me of the feels of the 80s and 90s.
Very simplistic. 90s from it. Yeah.
All I heard in her songs, and correct me if I'm wrong, was a guitar, a fiddle, and drums.
Mm-hmm. There could have been like a tambourine somewhere in there. I can't remember. I don't have the whole album memorized. Well,
I don't remember. Anyway, it didn't stand out to me.
There wasn't any big mixes in there yet. Yeah. And it was, and I appreciate that, you know, the.
Because the guitar did not sound like an electric guitar.
It was an acoustic.
It was acoustic.
Yeah.
So she really went back to a traditional sound more than a modern sound.
Yeah, and I think the most modern she did get was with Unexpected, which we said, you know, Carrie Underwood. And what was amazing was that mom, when she was listening to that, she looked at me, she's like, this sounds like Carrie Underwood. I'm like, oh my God, mom, for once you're right. But yeah, I enjoyed that. And I think overall, you know, I did enjoy the album, and I would put it in all
this would be
libraries.
One for, yeah, all libraries would be a good one.
Because,
country music.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, we can't speak for all small towns, but from our town, personally, and for my experience with this town and my experience with other small towns, they're more country-based, you know, so... It's always a safer bet to put in a country album in the smaller towns.
That is true. And to get the album, you go to her website. It is ericaperrymusic.com. So it's her name plus music. So ericaperrymusic.com. There is no link to purchase her music on her website yet. It says coming soon. So I don't know if this is a late 2014 release and we got it a little early. And if so, thank you again to Tammy for doing that.
Yeah.
If you got it early, because it's not available on her website yet. It will be coming soon. So hopefully before the end of the year, because we got a few months before the end of the year. You might be able to pick it up in 2015 or at the end of 14. If not, you might be able to get some of the songs on iTunes or something like that for a dollar for
and
downloads.
YouTube
right now.
Always works.
Yeah, she does have a few videos on YouTube.
Yeah,
and it gives them support too. The more views they get, so
true. You start getting paid for that crap.
Really?
Yeah.
When? Oh well. We're not YouTubed.
Well, I thought you were being serious. So I was getting ready to explain YouTube. I was like, yeah, this is real. Let me go get my chart. Oh, wow. I'll explain it.
So if anybody out there is interested in country music, especially the traditional 80s, 90s type of country music, you would be interested in this. You want to pick it up when it becomes available. Again, like April said, libraries, all sizes. Go ahead and pick this up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we thank Tammy Millspa of Texas Record Check PR for sending us Erica's CD, Wandering Daisy. We enjoy everything that you've done for us, and hopefully everybody out there is enjoying it as well. And I think that's pretty much it for this evening.
It is.
And we hope everybody out there is having fun. We've had fun here. We will see you on the flip side.
See ya.
Bye.
And also that outro song, because Dad forgot his job.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The outro song is going to be Lust.
So we'll see you now.
Bam.
Bye.
Bye.
Fell in love with my first kiss. He stole my heart, ran away with it, but it didn't last. I was looking for a feeling, looking for a rush. I was looking for something, and it wasn't love. Then there you were, fumbling my words. We came around my knees, where we got couldn't come down. I was high on you. They say love is blind, but that's a lie. Infatuation wins every time, and the only thing that I can say is true. Cause I've never been in lust until you. So tell me that you need me as we look up at the stars.
never been in lust until you. Butterflies heart pumping in my chest. Never felt anything quite.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.